Muslims in the United States have the disease of being spoon-fed and spoiled. You know, sort of hamburger knowledge mentality is what I call hamburger knowledge, or, you know, Coca-Cola vending machine mentality. You know, you put the coin, you hit it, it's very fast, it's very efficient, it's done. And what I found and you find that permeates, there's no real patience. I mean, even as you find undergraduates, school for example, and here in the university, undergraduates are extremely impatient to basically talk to you as if they're equal authorities. And in this society, you know, you indulge it because you know that's part of it. You know, they want to feel like they paid their dues before they paid anything. It's very different from the type of slow-paced attitude to knowledge that exists in contexts like Egypt. For example, that, you know, you have to memorize the full Quran before you earn the right to ask your teacher a question. You learn patience, believe me. I mean, you really learn patience. I mean, you learn to have that burning in you and say, well, I'm not going to be able to, it's very patient and step by step. That's a big problem for American Muslims, American Muslims specifically.
A major problem with American Muslims, actually, yeah, it's not just the memorizing Quran, actually knowing Arabic at all.
No, I'm not saying that they have to memorize the Quran.
Yeah, but I'm saying, do you feel that way yourself, that
about
for people to know Arabic?
I don't know about understand the Quran. Let me put it this way. You need Arabic if you want to be spokesperson for Islamic law. Or, in other words, if you want to be a specialist on Islamic Sharia obligations. Otherwise, no, I do not think you need Arabic to understand the Quran. Otherwise, you are representing nothing but your own personal view, and you should recognize it as such. And you should advocate it as such. I mean, every Muslim has a right to read the Quran and say, this is what I think. If a jurist comes and says, no, you're wrong, then you have a right to read the jurist and say, I don't agree. Why don't you agree? You know what is really ironic about Islamic civilization? This is very ironic. A jurist always has to tell you why he reaches a certain ruling, right? A non-jurist never has to tell you why he decides to follow or not follow the ruling. In other words, the jurist always has to give reasons. The tabi', which al-'am, never has to give reasons, because it's between that person and God. A jurist is liable before God, so a jurist is sort of stepping in a representational relationship. And so you always say, now in Islamic law, for example, a jurist comes and you come and ask me, what's an issue or halal haram around here? Okay, let's say you ask me, is music haram or halal? And I say haram. Or I say halal, whichever, doesn't matter. And you say, okay, thank you very much, and you take off. Now, have you escaped liability? According to Islamic law, Islamic juridical discourses, no. Even if you do what's right, no. You know why? Because you didn't ask me what my reasons for saying this is. You escape liability only if you listen to the reasons, you consider the reasons without hawa, without whim, and then decide. And that is why you can do shopping. You can go to several jurists and ask them. There is no, Islamic law didn't even create an inzamiya, an obligation to follow. If you like consult five jurists and each of them tell you something, you're not even obligated to accept one of their opinions. I mean, sort of these poor jurists in Islamic discourses, it's like they spend their whole life reading and acquiring knowledge only to be told people are completely free to ignore you if they want to. I mean, you should show respect to knowledge and knowledgeable people, but you could say, I respect you, but I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it. That's all. So it's amazing. So let's go back to American Muslims. American Muslims, when we talk about American Muslims, we say, okay, if you want to be a jurist yourself, yeah, you need to know Arabic, you need to know much more than Arabic. if you want to basically represent your own views, no, you need to be able to consult with people. And you need to be able to read the Quran and understand the Quran. And you need to be able to do jihad against your own whims and resist your own temptations. In other words, be critical with yourself. Be harsh on yourself. Know when you're doing something because you have an incentive to do it, selfish incentive, and when you're doing it because you really believe it. You know, I've how many times have I seen people make an argument for or against hijab? Maybe this is not your experience, I mean not your experiences that you've encountered, but in the, like the Qurayshi camp, I've heard people make an argument for or against hijab depending on the women they're interested in at the moment.
We've discussed issues such as if you're looking for a woman to marry, would you be looking at someone who's wearing hijab, or would you
But can you imagine if you're like interested in a woman that is not muhajjaba, then suddenly you don't believe that hijab is necessary. And then you are interested in a woman, this woman, for example, snuffed you, basically told you she's not interested. Now you're interested in a muhajjaba woman. I'm not exaggerating, literally like that. And then now you believe that hijab is an obligation on every woman. They do stuff like that here, believe it or not. Oh, you mean in case of engagement? Well, I mean that's a separate issue as to what the rules of engagement are. But basically, you have to make a public intention, declaration of intention. Everyone else has to stay away, and the intention must be serious and must be publicly stated and publicly accepted for consideration. Then you are engaged. None of the rules change. Like, you can't have khalwa, you can't go together in a room and sit together alone. None of the rules change. The only thing that changes is you are announcing to the world, this is the woman, you know, stay away, and we are going to spend, we can see each other, we can talk to each other in public. Yeah, that is fine. But that would fulfill at least the requirements from the Hanbali school. Now, the issue of looking at what you can see, the majority have said basically you can only see the face and the hand and the feet. That these are, you know, so they didn't vary anything. Some have said that you can see the face, the neck, the hair, and the hands up to the elbow. Some have said that you can see anything, you can see everything except from the knee to the navel. That's a minority view. The part that I do not like, and it goes back to a hadith attributed to the Prophet, is that if the woman does not allow you to see, can you sneak and sort of take a peek, see her when she doesn't see you? And there's a hadith that's attributed to the Prophet in which a man comes to him and says, I want to marry X, and the Prophet says, have you seen her? And he says, no. And he says, well, go see her. He says, well, her father won't let me. He says, well, go and basically sneak over there and take a peek. Now, it's possible within a certain social context that it happened. I mean, it's possible that if you know that the father is unreasonable, to tell the man, well, you know, don't be stupid, don't marry someone you haven't seen. It's entirely okay to go take a walk and pretend like you're looking for dates or something, and, you know, right at the right spot, rest at the, you know, this particular rock and gaze towards her, and then you'll see her. I mean, it's possible. But the part that becomes problematic is when you start legislating laws that transcend the situation. In other words, canceling the will of the women in the process about being gazed at. But basically, these are the word natar bighayr shahwa, that also when you see, you cannot sit there and stare for enjoyment. This is not a license for basically let's just sit and stare at each other. This is a license, basically, so you know what you're what you're doing. But I don't know. I mean, a lot of the stuff now is contextually not. I mean, I think in the modern age, you're much better off thinking about whether you can have a conversation with this human being than whether you think she's half attractive or half ugly or whatever. Spouses, whether man or woman, are such a source of comfort in the modern age that if you cannot have a peaceful home environment, you are in trouble, deep trouble, very deep trouble. While in the old days you go to the diwan and sit and talk about the affairs of the state, or you go to a mosque and meet this, and in traditional societies, in other words, if you can't have a conversation with your wife, or you can't have a conversation with your husband, you have your circles that you can frequent and you escape. But in modern society, your face is stuck to your spouse's face all the time. I mean, whenever you're home, you're face to face. And unless you can get along with that person and be able to at least have a conversation, then you have a problem. As you probably noticed, I need to see a doctor today.
Thank you so much for talking so long.
You're welcome. I hope this has been somewhat helpful, although I know it won't solve any of your problems.
It was extremely enlightening and it's very powerful because I was very much moved in need of something like this. Because I think all of us really have the intent to pursue this in some way or another. Like you said, you're not an activist. And it is our job, but in the middle of that, it's just like you mentioned, for your feeling, you're disheartened in the midst of all the controversy. A lot of us are disheartened too.
I'll tell you, if as long as it's kept quiet, I mean, I don't want this to come out. Number one, because as a professor, you saw how I handle my classes. You can't really tell if I'm a Muslim or not a Muslim. People guess as whether I even believe in this religion or not. And I think that in a secular university, you're not there to preach the religion. And I feel the best invitation to the religion is to teach people to respect the religion, that you can't make generalizations. So I do not want it to get out that, oh, he holds special meetings for Muslims, because it tends to exclude non-Muslims. I mean, a lot of, as you know, students like to feel close to their professors. And if they feel that, oh, they're excluded because they're not Muslim, it's not fair to them. So keep this quiet. If it's kept quiet, then every once in a while, nothing regular, every once in a while you can construct a issue and I can meet with you and talk about it. But, you know, come prepared for something as painful as today. Because I don't know a single issue in Islamic discourse that I would have a quick answer for you about. Except if you ask me how many times should pray a day, something like that.
I hope you understand your role. We didn't necessarily want this to put you in the limelight, per se, but you are a very effective bridge to this knowledge that probably most of us will never have, because I don't know if I'll be able to master the Arabic language and vocabulary to be able to access all the knowledge that perhaps you could have. So, in a sense, you can consider yourself like a medium, instead of just as, like, you know, the person on the scaffold.
By the way, you know, jurists all throughout Islamic history will never empower. Never empower, and because they always were the medium. They were always the medium between the state and the people. They always played sort of the role of the conscience of the nation, of the ummah itself. We tend to forget that you want to really corrupt the jurists, put them in power. Because you know what? They know too much about the law. If you know so much about the law, you're always going to be able to circumvent it. So, never trust someone who has so many books in a position of power.
I'd just like to mention that some of us were thinking about about a summer program, possibly developing something like that, and asking Aziza Al-Hibri, we've been talking to her, and
yeah.
She's a father, to maybe have a special...